we continue our examination of gun laws in New Jersey, the right to carry process, how it's viewed by those who see guns as a danger versus strictly a right. For that, we turn to an organization which has worked with communities, political leaders, keep a focus on extinguishing gun violence. We're now joined by the executive director of the Coalition for Peace Action and Peace Action Education Project. One of their projects is Ceasefire New Jersey, Reverend Robert Moore. How are you today, Reverend?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
A couple of websites. We do have them on our homepage, too, peacecoalition.org, to get to Ceasefire New Jersey. It's /campaigns/ceasefire.html. Again, you don't need to be scrambling. We have that linked at our homepage for your information. And if you like what the Reverend is talking about, you can also support the work of the Peace Coalition as well. Focusing, Reverend, on the recent ruling by a federal judge that put a muffler on new gun laws regarding right to carry. What was your response to that ruling?
I was very troubled by it. We do work closely with our elected leaders, including the governor and the state legislature, on having strong gun safety laws in New Jersey. And, you know, this ruling by the Supreme Court that disallowed some of the restrictions on concealed carry of weapons is very troubling in the first place. But I think that the governor and the legislature had teamed up to pass a law that was aimed toward minimizing any additional gun violence that might happen from a huge surge in concealed carry permits is what we're anticipating. On average, there had been about 500 permits granted each year. You had to show necessity and so on. Most of them were retired police officers, actually, and now the floodgates are open, and the state police say they have 300,000 applicants. So we're talking about a very big proliferation of guns in New Jersey. One way to try to minimize that is to take advantage of the sensitive areas clause of the ruling that said you can prohibit guns, concealed guns, from being carried into sensitive areas. And unfortunately, the federal district judge ruling disallowed several of those sensitive areas. So let me just review those with you.
Sure.
The ones that the judge disallowed are beaches, public parks, bars, and restaurants. Now, let's start with bars. Obviously, people sometimes get into arguments at bars. They aren't in full control of how they're behaving if they have imbibed too much. And so one of the most dangerous places for people to be armed is in a bar. Because, you know, if they don't have a gun with them, there might be a fist fight or something, but it's pretty unlikely anybody's going to die. If they are armed with a gun, that means there's a much higher probability that one or more people are going to die. And so that I find particularly troubling. People go to bars, most of them, to relax and feel safe and have fun. That's being undermined by this ruling. Similarly with restaurants. Obviously less danger there that somebody will have imbibed too much, but depending on whether that particular restaurant serves alcohol. But, you know, many of us with families like to go out with our families occasionally and have a nice meal together at a restaurant. And now you're going to have to be worried if somebody at a nearby table in that restaurant that is armed and that might overhear something you say and be annoyed by it. And who knows where that will lead. Parks. So, you know, I walk my dog in the park multiple times each day. Other people like to take walks with their children and their family. So it's a place that we generally like to be able to feel very safe. And that's taken away by this judge's ruling. And let me just say one more thing about public parks. The Mother's Day after the Newtown mass shooting, a little over 10 years ago, We had a Mother's Day march that went from New Jersey into a park in Morrisville, Pennsylvania. And in, on the New Jersey side, everything was fine, everything was safe, nobody was brandishing guns, and we have pretty strict laws here in New Jersey. They were even stricter then before the Supreme Court's ruling. However, when we went to the park in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, we went in and there were dozens of people fully armed openly. It wasn't even concealed. They were openly carrying AK-47s, all kinds of very, very dangerous weapons. And they shouted us down. Our speakers, including the former governor, Governor Rendell, were all shouted down. The relatives of gun violence victims were shouted down. And so I think to have guns out there in public is also deeply corrosive to our democracy. How do you exercise your First Amendment right when the person you're trying to exercise it around is armed and may kill you for it? So again, I'm very, very troubled, deeply troubled by this ruling. And let me just say this to your listeners, though, that it is being appealed by Matt Platkin, the New Jersey Attorney General, and he's appealing it to the appellate court, which is the court for federal rulings, regional rulings for New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. That court is much more open-minded, so I think there's a high probability that this ruling will be reversed when it gets to that appellate court.
Talking to Reverend Robert Moore, who is the executive director of the Coalition for Peace Action, one of the projects Ceasefire in New Jersey, peacecoalition.org, is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. How do you respond to the person who will say, when it comes to someone with the right to carry permit, they've gone through probably as many background checks as a public servant, probably more than a politician, police officer, or firefighter, and they're the least likely to use their gun for a purpose of violence. They're more likely to use it as protection or defending someone who is facing violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does occasionally happen. So I'm not saying that can never happen, but the vast majority of the uses of guns, statistics show, are indeed for more overtly aggressive violence reasons. Only less than one half of 1% of gun deaths are ruled justifiable homicide. So using a gun in self-defense is really the exception. The vast majority of them are used for things like the mass shootings that we've been seeing and day-to-day urban gun violence and all kinds of things like that. So, it's good that there are things that they have to go through to get the permit, but it was much stricter than this previously. The one thing I'll say that I think is good is there are now training required before you can get a permit, and I think if you're going to have a gun, it's certainly good to have that safety training first. But the other thing, and that's other states do that as well, but one thing that's unique to New Jersey's new law and is still in place, the judge didn't overrule this, is the requirement that you must have liability insurance. So if your gun, if your concealed gun is used to hurt another person and that person decides to sue you, you have to have liability insurance to cover that. And I think that's actually a good thing because it might make somebody think twice. Do I really want this kind of be exposed to this kind of liability? And look, an awful lot of people, once a gun is used, especially if it hits you in the wrong place, your brain or your heart, there's a strong probability that that person who was struck by a gun, by a bullet, is going to die. By far, guns are the most lethal form of violence in our society.
Do you see, other than for a retired police officer or a school security officer, do you see there being any rightful need for a person to have a right to carry?
No. I mean, the Supreme Court ruled some time ago you can have one in your home for self-defense, and we don't contest that, although if you do have one in your home, we certainly urge you to keep it locked up. because otherwise it might be used by somebody in that home, and it's far more likely to be used that way, by the way, rather than an intruder. So, not in principle, but the idea that you're going to need a gun if you're in a park, if you're in a restaurant, if you're at a beach, these are not places that we want to be having very many guns at, because we want to feel safe with ourselves and our families. We have our children with us, our grandchildren, and I fear for everybody's life if somebody armed is nearby, they often, too often, shoot first and ask questions later. That's what we've been seeing in this latest spurt of gun violence, is that people just impulsively, some of them are suicidal and other things, but they have this easy access to high-powered guns that are meant for the battlefield, like the assault weapons.
Just to wrap up, with 202 mass shootings so far in America this year, four of them in New Jersey, not to discount them, but going through what number I saw, there were four victims in each one of the four, which versus a mass shooting that we've seen of double-digit deaths and injuries. What are some of the projects, what's some of the points of focus Ceasefire New Jersey is doing in the state and even as part of a team throughout the nation to make people more aware of how they hold the responsibility and the opportunity to keep that 202 number from growing any further?
Yes, well, we certainly do a fair amount of education through our website and through various gatherings, but I also do want to mention that we were one of the first states to ban assault weapons in New Jersey, and I'm proud that Ceasefire was a leader in preventing the NRA from rescinding that. They tried in 1993, just a few years, after it was passed, they tried to rescind it, and succeeded in the New Jersey Assembly, and thankfully in the New Jersey Senate 3 weeks later, again this was in March of 1993, the New Jersey Senate vote had not a single senator voted to rescind the ban. It stayed in place, and I think that was the closest thing I've ever seen to a legislative miracle. And when our state senator was asked, why did you, a member of the NRA, why did you vote to keep the ban, he said, because 1,000 constituents called me and 90% of them said, keep the ban. So this is what the majority of Americans, the majority of New Jerseyans want, is more gun safety and stronger gun safety laws.
Certainly, poll after poll shows a vast majority, 60, 70, 80% in favor of background checks.
Absolutely.
Closing the loopholes.
Yep.
Certification, every possible fail-safe, so that the safety of the innocent people around someone with a gun will not be jeopardized, either by their own use of the gun or, more often than not, and we've seen this happening, being addressed now too in a proactive way, if a person's gun is used in a crime, not by their hand, it's their gun, but they'll be facing charges as well.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, the NRA still has something of a stranglehold on our federal legislature. But we've been able to get some very good laws passed in New Jersey, and going all the way back to that assault weapons ban. But just in the last 3 years, we've passed about 20 new gun safety laws, including this one that you're talking to me about now. And so these are worth fighting for, because they prevent shooting deaths, they prevent gun violence, and that's worth doing.
Learn more about the work of Ceasefire in New Jersey through the work of the Peace Coalition. It's peacecoalition.org. Top of the page menu, you'll see the drop-down for campaigns. That'll get you to the Ceasefire New Jersey page. And if you are supportive of what the Reverend has said here today, you want to support the work of Ceasefire New Jersey and the Peace Coalition, at the website you'll have the opportunity to do that as well. He's the Executive Director of the Coalition for Peace Action and Ceasefire New Jersey, Reverend Robert Moore. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.